Reading from Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 24, the whole chapter. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel, in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now, Heber the Kenite, of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zarnaim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of this tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you, and says, is there any man here? You shall say, no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him, and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And then, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. I will quickly pray. Father, for the, thank you for this time together. I pray that as we open your word and look at what's in it, you will speak to all of us, and your word will be helpful and a blessing to all. Amen. Amen. If you are familiar with the book of Judges, then you'll know there is a cycle of events that keeps repeating itself throughout the storyline. The Judges cycle. It starts with Israel, happily under God's ordinances and instruction. But very shortly we discover, perhaps without surprise, that the Israelites are not particularly good at being faithful and soon fall away into idolatry and sin. The repercussion of this is that the Lord allows them to be delivered into the hands of an enemy, whether it be a Moabite, a Philistine, or some other. Under oppression and suffering, Israel realize their wrong path and call out to the Lord for help. Ever faithful, the Lord would raise up a human, a judge, who could lead the Israelites and rescue them from their oppressors. Israel would be happily delivered and would, of course, then go and worship God forever and live happily ever after. No, of course they wouldn't. Barely as soon as they were delivered, they would again turn away, unable to keep the requirements of the Lord, and lulled and taken captive by the ever-exciting world around them. The cycle would then begin again, and another oppressor would take the place of the last. For this story, we actually have two chapters of Judges, chapters 4 and 5, which cover the same content, but from slightly different angles. Chapter 4 is a narrative that tells us what happened, whereas chapter 5 is a song of victory, sung by Deborah and Barak, two major characters used by the Lord. It is in some respects rather like an inspired commentary to the previous chapter, helpful to explain and describe and embellish upon some of the events, so I will be referring to both during the talk. Now at the beginning of chapter 4, we find that the Israelites had sinned and fallen under the thumb of Jabin, king of Hazor. This was the third time in Judges that the Israelites fell away and were oppressed. Despite God faithfully rescuing the Israelites, every time they cry out in desperation, their sinful natures continuously lead them back to such practices as Baal worship and child sacrifice, amongst other such disregards for God's law given to them through Moses. We see that most recently, the Israelites have been saved through Ehud, but as soon as he passed on, they returned to their evil ways. It strikes me that it took very little for them to turn back, and it was only Ehud's presence that stopped them from turning away earlier. Not the Lord's presence. The keeping of the law was very superficial, and as soon as the authority that kept it had gone, so did the actual keeping of it. As we hear multiple times in the book of Judges, in those days, everyone did as they saw fit. So we have ended up with Israel under the oppression of a Canaanite king called Jabin and his powerful general, Sisera. We see that Jabin ruled from Hazor, a city that Joshua had actually burned down. So this is another clue that God's chosen people were failing in their duties to serve God and living according to his law. They had lost to the Canaanites the very land that they had been promised. But now we see a breath of hope. Verse 3, they cried out to the Lord. The Israelites were judged by the prophetess Deborah. This is significant because in such a male-dominated society, it was humiliating to be led by a woman, highlighting that God can use anyone to accomplish his purposes. In this case, someone of a low social status, being God's prophet and the mother of his people. Chapter 5 verse 7 reads, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. I think it's significant that Deborah viewed herself as a mother in this verse of her song. It highlights that the people of Israel were like little children who needed to be fed milk and cared for. As children, they were reliant on God's power and were going to have to trust him. They would have to trust what God chose to do. And God chose Barak to lead his army, but made it clear that he was actually the one in control. As he was going to lure Sisera's army to the location of the battle and said that he would give them into the Israelites' hands. But Barak joined the ranks of Moses, Gideon, and Jeremiah and hesitated to trust God immediately. He wanted the assurance of God being there in the presence of Deborah. Because Barak doubted God's ability to deliver, God said that the final victory over Sisera would instead be given to a woman. This outcome would again have some level of humiliation for the Israelites, but would also humble them, as it would show that God was entirely in control and keeps his promises. A call is sent out to Israel from God to come and fight. Barak took 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun, and the number was swelled to about 40,000, as we can see from Deborah's song in verse 8. They came from tribes such as Benjamin, Ephraim, Issachar, and half of Manasseh. The very calling of this army was an act of faith, because the Canaanites had a terrifying army of 900 iron chariots, and Israel had no standing army, and not even any proper weapons. They had to depend on God's promise through Deborah. This brings me to an important point, because there were also many tribes who didn't volunteer. Chapter 5, verses 15 to 18 reads, "And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there was great resolve of heart. Why did you sit among the shepherds? To hear pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield." So between these verses of Deborah's song, we see Reuben search their hearts before rejecting God's call. Gilead staying beyond the Jordan out of harm's way. And both Dan and Asher keeping close to the sea instead of joining. They heard the call of God but chose to reject it. They didn't trust his promise. Jumping a little further ahead, we see that Meroz, a town actually in Barak's home of Naphtali, is cursed for not joining. This is in stark contrast to verse 18, which highlights the bravery and the faith of Zebulun and Naphtali. Friends, we all have a choice. Romans 8 verse 20, "Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse." Nature is cursed, just like Meroz and the other tribes that would not respond to God. But those who responded and stepped out in the Lord's name were blessed. They were honoured in Deborah's song. The fact that the song was written shows that they experienced the great and wonderful joy of God for following his call into the depths of battle. We can choose to accept the call and move forward, or reject the call and remain under God's curse. It may seem like taking up God's call is the harder choice. Fighting the Canaanites instead of staying safe and warm on the other side of the Jordan. But trust God. His way will win through, as we are about to see very clearly in the battle that takes place. When we come to the actual battle, we see God fully take center stage. Yes, he's working through Deborah and Barak to accomplish his salvation, but truly he is the real savior here. Consider these points. God set Heber, the Kenite, up in just the right place for Sisera to find his tent. God lured the general Sisera to the Kishon River. God announced that he had delivered Sisera into Barak's hands, even before the battle had started. God affirmed that he had gone ahead of the Israelites. Look at chapter 5 verse 20. "They fought from the heavens, the stars from their courses, fought against Sisera." In Deborah's song, even the very stars fight Sisera, the very elements, the weather, nature, all that God controls. Verse 21, "The torrent of Kishon swept them away, that ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. O my soul, march on in strength. He floods the Kishon River to wash them away and completely incapacitate the 900 iron chariots that the Canaanites had put their faith in. Verse 22, "Then the horse's hooves pounded, the galloping, galloping of his steeds." The Lord was in the very midst of the battle. Back to chapter 4, verse 15. "And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot." He routed the Canaanites before Barak, And no wonder. Imagine the utter panic as a God who you didn't know suddenly turns against you, bringing down all his mighty power, all his wrath, all his majesty. Then they would realize that mere iron chariots are useless. The storms of this God completely outmatch the storms of Baal, their own God, who happens to have been attributed power over storms. It's too late. Their faith was misplaced, and now all they can do is accept the wrath of God over them. Finally, God allowed Sisera to be slain according to his promise, by a woman, Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, whose tent, if you remember, God had set up in just the right place. Sisera ended up just where God wanted him to be. He thought the Kenites would help him, and Jael offered him milk when he asked for water. Sisera slept confident of security. Now, in nomad culture, it was the responsibility of the woman to take up and down the tents, so Jael was no stranger to hammers and tent pegs. And with a single blow, she sent the peg clean through Sisera's head. God's victory was complete. We might wonder why, in verse 24 of her song, Deborah calls Jael blessed. It seems like a pretty terrible betrayal of Sisera. Proverbs 3 verse 29. Do not plot harm against your neighbour who lives trustfully near you. Well, for starters, Jael had accomplished God's will, just as he had intended it to be. It is a mystery to us that God can use such evil and betrayal for good. But he can, and he does. Secondly, she is living in a broken world full of broken people. A broken person herself. Neither Barak, Deborah, nor Jael would be able to do their roles completely sinlessly. Yet, at the same time, they did perform their roles, their duties. Finally, we see from verse 30 that there was an expectation that the Canaanites would have raped thousands of Israelite girls and women, alongside plundering and murder and many other atrocities. This simple act by Jael brought to an end Sisera's oppressive leadership and prevented another mass devastation of the Israelites. At the end of chapter 4, God subdues Jabin, the Canaanite king, and grants Israel power over the Canaanites instead. The parallel passage in Deborah's song is verse 31, which calls for God's enemies to perish, but for those who love him to be like the sun in its full strength. So, love him and be like the sun. Don't make yourself an enemy of him. Don't allow yourself to remain under God's curse like the tribes who didn't listen to God's call. God's enemies will perish, and when God's judgment comes, you will have no choice but to accept his wrath, like the Canaanites. But a true saviour did come, a Christ who didn't have the failings of Barak, or Deborah, or Jael. One who can flood rivers and defeat armies. One who offers you the promise of salvation through his own death. One who has the victory over his enemies, over sin itself. If you love Jesus, you will shine like the sun. There are many who don't know Jesus, and sadly, these people currently share the same fate as the armies of Sisera, crushed, washed away, destroyed. We should pray for them and call on God to rescue them, but ultimately, if their hearts stay hard, they will die and be separated from God. But for those of us who do accept Christ as their Saviour and Lord, how great the rejoicing shall be that even the triumphant song of Deborah will be overawed by joy and gladness. In light of the great truth of Christ, I have a couple of points. Be someone who always says yes to God, like Naphtali and Zebulun. They experienced God's abundant joy and blessing by stepping out in faith when God called them. Beware of knowing what God wants you to do but ignoring it. We saw Reuben search their hearts. They seriously considered God's call, but ultimately rejected it. The tribes like this who didn't fight were still delivered as God's people. But those who took up God's call were rewarded in God's joy and blessing. Be a yes person. And also, know that it won't be the easy path. Barak's temptation to not fully believe in God's promised deliverance is all too easy. The Israelites who took up the call found themselves amid a vicious battle. But as we saw, every single aspect of that battle was under God's control. Even the very stars of the sky. Trust God's sovereign power through hardship and allow God to bring you to the other side and to show you his power. Amen.